Welcome to the 14th Science of Wholeness podcast, titled Independent Direct Voice, which aired Sunday, March 3rd, 2024. Today, esteemed listeners, we shall delve into the miraculous phenomenon associated with the late great British independent direct voice medium, Leslie Flint, who entered our world on January 25th, 1911, and passed back into spirit on April 16th, 1994, at the ripe old age of 83. Leslie Flint was a renowned British medium known for his purported ability to produce direct voice phenomenon, a form of mediumship where spirit voices are heard independently of the medium's vocal cords, using an extremely light-sensitive substance known as ectoplasm. Living voices could be heard coming from various mid-air locations around a darkened room as he sat with various attendees. Hundreds of his hour-long seances have been recorded, dating back to the early 1950s and proceeding all the way into the early 1990s. We owe him much for all the service he has provided since his early years as a medium, starting in the 1930s. The amount of information that came through is astonishing. Moreover, real post-material personalities came through speaking back and forth with the sitters in the room as naturally as if they were still back on the earth. Aside from some rather absurd accusations, no evidence of any quackery could be found. Hundreds of full-length Leslie Flint seance recordings can be listened to free of any costs whatsoever directly from the Leslie Flint Educational Trust website. Spiritualists have reported various accounts and opinions regarding Flint's abilities and the phenomena observed during his seances. Many spiritualists who attended Flint's seances reported receiving what they believe to be authentic communication from deceased loved ones. They described hearing the voices of relatives and friends speaking in a recognizable manner, often conveying personal messages, memories, and evidence of their continued existence beyond physical death. Spiritualists praised Flint for the evidential nature of his mediumship, noting instances where he provided specific details and accurate information that could not have been known to him through normal means. This evidential mediumship lent credibility to Flint's claims and reinforced beliefs in the continuity of life after death. Beyond facilitating communication with departed spirits, Flint's seances reportedly included teachings and insights on spiritual matters. Attendees reported receiving guidance, wisdom, and philosophical perspectives from the spirit communicators, which deepened their understanding of spiritual principles and the nature of existence. Despite the support and testimonials from believers, Flint's mediumship also faced skepticism and criticism from skeptics and debunkers. Some skeptics questioned the authenticity of the phenomena observed during his seances, attributing them to trickery or psychological factors. However, supporters of Flint maintained that the evidence and experiences they witnessed were genuine and could not be easily explained away. Leslie Flint's mediumship continues to be a subject of fascination and debate within the spiritualist community and beyond. While his seances have been hailed as profound demonstrations of spirit communication and evidential mediumship by believers, they have also been met with skepticism and scrutiny by skeptics and critics. Regardless of one's stance, Flint's work has left a significant impact on the field of mediumship and has inspired further exploration into the mysteries of life, death, and the afterlife. Leslie Flint's mediumship was often praised for its evidential nature, with numerous instances where he reportedly provided specific details and accurate information that seemed to come from spirit communicators. Here are some notable examples. During seances, Flint would often relay highly specific personal details about deceased individuals that were unknown to the sitters present. This included names, dates, addresses, occupations, and other intimate details that were later confirmed by the sitters or their families. Flint would sometimes relay private conversations that had taken place between the sitter and the deceased, providing verbatim dialogue that was known only to those involved. This served as compelling evidence of ongoing communication between the sitter and their loved ones in spirit. Flint's spirit communicators would describe the physical appearance of deceased individuals in detail, including distinguishing features, clothing, and mannerisms. These descriptions often matched the way the individuals looked in life, even if the sitter had never provided such information to Flint beforehand. Spirit communicators would often share unique memories and experiences with the sitters that were meaningful and significant to them. These memories could range from childhood events to shared moments of joy or sorrow, serving as poignant reminders of the continuing bond between the sitter and their loved ones in spirit. Flint would sometimes relay historical or geographical information that was accurate but unfamiliar to him and the sitters. This included details about places, events, and individuals from the past that were later confirmed through research corroborated by experts in the relevant fields. Flint would occasionally channel spirit communicators who spoke in languages or accents that were foreign to him and the sitters. These instances provided further evidence of the authenticity of the communication, as Flint would accurately reproduce the linguistic nuances and speech patterns of the spirit communicators. Overall, these examples and many others served as compelling evidence of Leslie Flint's mediumship and the authenticity of the communication he facilitated between the living and the deceased. While skeptics have attempted to discredit his work, supporters maintain that the evidential nature of Flint's mediumship remains a testament to the reality of life after death and the enduring connection between the physical and spiritual realms. If Leslie Flint could come back today and speak from the other side, he would probably have this to say about his life. In the quaint town of Hackney, London, on a brisk winter day in 1911, I, Leslie Flint, entered the world with a mysterious whisper of destiny lingering in the air. From a young age, I felt drawn to the unseen realms, captivated by the whispers of spirits that seemed to dance on the edges of perception. As I grew older, my fascination with the spirit world deepened, leading me on a journey of self-discovery and exploration. It was during my teenage years that I first began to sense the presence of spirits around me, their ethereal whispers guiding me towards a path of spiritual awakening. In the dimly lit seance rooms of London, my mediumistic abilities blossomed, unveiling a world of wonder and mystery beyond the veil of the physical. With each seance, I delved deeper into the realms of spirit communication, channeling messages of love, healing, and wisdom from the other side. The hallmark of my mediumship lay in the phenomenon of direct voice communication, where spirit voices spoke independently of my vocal cords, filling the room with their ethereal presence. Through this miraculous gift, I became a bridge between the worlds, facilitating reunions between loved ones separated by the divide of death. My journey as a medium was not without its challenges, as skeptics and critics sought to undermine the authenticity of my gifts. Yet amidst the doubt and skepticism, the voices of the departed continued to speak, their messages of hope and reassurance transcending the limitations of disbelief. As the years passed, my name became synonymous with evidential mediumship, revered by believers and skeptics alike for the depth and authenticity of the communication I facilitated. Though I have crossed the threshold into the spirit world myself, my legacy lives on in the echoes of the voices I channeled and the lives I touched with the light of spirit. Now, as I dwell in the realms of spirit, I reflect on the journey that brought me to this moment, a journey illuminated by the whispers of unseen hands guiding me towards my true purpose. Though my physical form may have faded into the mists of time, my spirit remains eternally bound to the realms of light and love, forever whispering words of comfort and hope to those who seek solace in the embrace of the divine. And so, the dance between the worlds continues, a timeless symphony of life, death, and the eternal journey of the soul. In the echoes of Leslie Flint's autobiography, may we find inspiration to embrace the mystery of existence and awaken to the whispers of our own divine purpose, knowing that beyond the veil lies a realm of infinite possibility and unending love. I shall now conclude with the voice of spirit communicator Douglas Konica explaining to his wife Ira what direct voice communication is like from his side of life.
I've been reading recently that nobody really understands how direct voice is produced. I wonder if you could tell me a little of the technique of this form of communication.
Well, I don't think that anyone can really explain it, not in a technical sense, not in a scientific sense.
No.
The only way one can sort of hope to give an impression of it is the fact that the whole of the atmosphere is vibrational. Everything that exists, everything that has any being at all, even inanimate objects, quite apart from human beings and animals and so on, and nature itself, everything has a form of life.
Yes.
And this is vitality. Vitality is a word which perhaps doesn't depict quite what I want to convey, but there is this life, this vitality, this something that is in itself dynamic and powerful, which means that it can be utilized. It's never lost. Certain things may appear to be lost, but they're not really lost. I mean, a sound that's vibrated on the atmosphere may be heard for a fleeting second by the ears of a human being, but it doesn't mean to say that immediately it is lost, that it's gone. It's still vibrating probably on another vibration quite apart from that which you've heard it. And of course there are many sounds which you do not hear, which are far beyond the human range.
Yes.
And all these vibrations are very real things. And we are able to utilize a certain substance too, which emanates from nature, emanates from human beings also, of course, which you've termed, or which has been termed ectoplasm, which in itself is something which we can utilize, which becomes solidified to a point. It's always fluctuating, it's never stationary for any length of time, it's true, but it can be utilized by certain people here who know how to use it to build or form a replica of the vocal organs necessary for speech, and in some instances in such things as materialization, whole figures and forms, or replicas of bodies. These are, and must always be considered, artificial.
Yes.
Because they are artificially produced. And that is why I think quite often people say, oh, well, so-and-so said so-and-so, which is very interesting and which was very typical of that person. And but the voice itself doesn't sound the same. But then again, the voice is artificially produced. It's not natural. It's not our voice, in a sense. It's vibrational.
Yes.
But it's not vibrational in the same sense as when one was on Earth utilizing one's own vocal organs in one's own natural conditions. Everything that we are doing, I mean, I'm talking to you, in a sense, is artificial. It's reproduction. It's artificially reproduced. And although that which I want to convey to you is factual, is my own thinking, is from my own experience, that which reproduces it is in a sense artificial.
This is the end of my podcast for now. Everyone, please take care. Thank you for tuning in. And until next time, stay vibrant, stay empowered, and stay well.